Hello, I'm Dr. Scott Wattier.
And I'm Tommy Welling, and you're listening to the Fasting for Life podcast.
This podcast is about using fasting as a tool to regain your health, achieve ultimate wellness, and live the life you truly deserve.
Each episode is a short conversation on a single topic with immediate actionable steps. We cover everything from fat loss and health and wellness to the science of lifestyle design.
We started Fasting for Life because of how fasting has transformed our lives, and we hope to share the tools that we have learned along the way. Hey everyone, welcome to the Fasting for Life podcast. My name is Dr. Scott Wattier, and I'm here, as always, with my good friend and colleague, Tommy Welling. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas. The end of the year is upon us, sir. How are you doing this afternoon?
Yeah, I'm doing great. How's it going, Scott?
Doing fantastic, my friend. I cannot believe that in just a few days, we're going to see a three in our four-digit year, right? Yep. So 2023 is here. So the next few episodes, Tommy, are going to be really fun. We're going to talk about the overall benefits of fasting, and then we're going to talk about this new concept that we've been working on, which is the fasting wheel of life. So if you guys have done some life coaching or some goal setting in the past, there's this exercise that you do called the Wheel of Life. We're going to apply it to the fasting lifestyle, which is what this podcast is about and what we are doing week in and week out and day out inside of our groups and challenges is how do you get fasting to create a quality of life and health, level of health that hasn't been obtainable in other dieting and weight loss techniques, right? So how do we make it adaptable to become part of our lifestyle? So we're going to talk about the benefits of the basic benefits of fasting. And then we're going to go into the conversation on what does it look like setting yourself up for having the best year, the best year yet. So how can 2023 be the best year? And not just, we're not just talking about the scale and those dang 20, 30, 40 or whatever plus pounds that you've been meaning to get rid of, right?
Yeah.
And then we're going to do a year in review too. So year in review episode. And then we're going to have a really cool conversation about a study about 4 and 6 hour fasting windows and those effects on health. Yes. But we're also going to be releasing a new, brand new, still in production, okay? Brand new resource that is going to be about starting your fasting journey and building the necessary foundational habits up to a 24-hour fast and beyond.
Yeah.
So
it's gonna be awesome.
New resources loading, new conversations happening today. Benefits of fasting for metabolic health. Yes, we're gonna talk a little bit about the scale, but go a little bit deeper. How we're gonna frame out what the start of 2023 can look like with fasting and your fasting goals, right? Insert the fasting wheel of life. And then we'll have a cool year in review conversation after the first of the year. Be able to wish everybody a happy 2023 and a happy new year coming up next week, as well as, you know, highlighting the most downloaded kind of episodes over the last year to really direct y'all to the high notes, right? Because now that we've gotten 159, 160 episodes, we want to make sure we have these checkpoints, right? That you can go back to, refer back to if you're new, welcome. Yeah. You're coming in at a perfect time. If you're an OG, great. We got a place to send you for a reset. And then I'm super excited about that January 10th episode with that new resource that we've got coming. So
yeah, it's gonna be cool. Yeah, put some like some guideposts in the sandbox, you know? Like go play over here. Some of these episodes are really cool over here. And we've, you know, gotten some great feedback from this one over here. So it's gonna be cool. I love closing out the year with some really good intention, because I can't tell you, like, the diet and those pounds that I needed to lose, it was always like the reason to do a New Year's resolution for me. It was always the reason to like write some things down at the end of the year. And it feels so much better, you know, now having the tools and having things arranged differently. So that's not my focal point. Even if I want to lose 10 pounds or 50 pounds or whatever it might be, the thinking about it and the structure behind it, and then how I'm going to actually measure my progress and give myself feedback on how it's going, feels completely like 180 degrees different from how I would have done it maybe 5 years ago. And then kept, you know, going on that same roller coaster and kind of hitting my head up against a corner in frustration.
Yeah, there's so much research out there that shows the inefficiency of New Year's resolutions, right? And that you stop, and we're not going to talk about that. We've done episodes on that in the past, right?
Right.
You know, we've talked about the weight gain and the truth about holiday weight gain and the scale and, you know, all of the pressure and angst and guilt and frustration that comes along with that. We're going to frame this in the next few episodes in a positive light of what you can do and what you can control. If you want to hear kind of what we did last year and how we're going to be leveling it up for this year, you know, you can go back and listen to, you know, the end of the year episodes through November and December of last year and kind of how we frame things out. And this year we're bringing new energy, new focus, new skills, new tools to the forefront of this Fasting for Life journey. So I'm super pumped up about it, super excited about it as well.
Me too.
So the start of today's conversation came out of an article from levelshealth.com, which is one of the main players in the CGM world, which is the continuous glucose monitoring world.
Yeah.
So there is a skewed kind of focus here on blood sugar, but I think it's really important when we can have the conversation about what truly matters and why do we want to lose weight, right? So
yeah,
why are you here? Well, you've probably had failed weight loss attempts in the past.
Sure.
Most people come to fasting, like I did, to lose weight.
Me too.
Right?
Yep.
So what are those benefits of fasting for health, not for the scale, right? So what is fasting? Why does it matter? What is it important? Well, I mean, we just recorded an episode, I believe it was last week or 2 weeks ago, where we talked about, you know, the different fasting windows, but the importance of the cardiometabolic implications, or what is that going to do in terms of decreasing our risk of becoming a statistic that has a disease process that is due to the carrying and the metabolic dysfunction of carrying the extra weight and having an imbalanced lifestyle or view of what health it is, whose responsibility it is, and how I can obtain it. Mm. Well, that's a lot different than, well, my doctor said I need to lose 20 pounds, or man, I want to fit into that pair of jeans, or man, I want to weigh what I did when I got married, or that possibly unobtainable number from when you were in high school when the imbalance started, right? So fasting is a powerful tool to balance that metabolic health, reduce the inflammation, improve cardiovascular health, and not become one of those statistics, you know, that 8 or 9 reasons why people pass away here in the United States is because of blood sugar and weight-related issues. So I want to start with what is fasting, the benefits of fasting, talk about insulin resistance and glucose, and then focus on, talk a little bit about weight loss, but then what we should be targeting for the best year yet in terms of 2023 when it comes to weight loss and this fasting lifestyle. And that's where the fasting wheel of life is going to come in play.
Yeah, because if all we have to look at is that number on the scale, is that weight, then how does that equate, especially if it was like doctor prescribed, you know, but like, how does that equate to everything else that matters, or like the overall health and the focal points of my motivation and my inspiration to keep going with something that's working, especially like during those tougher times. If it's just that number on the scale, that's oftentimes not enough. That has like limited power in my willpower and inspiration and like longevity to my process. We're gonna need more tools than that to kind of fuel the journey, I think.
Two things you just said that stood out to me. One was, you talked about like more than the scale, right? So if that's all we have, or if we only have blood work done once every 6 to 12 months.
Yeah, true.
You know, that's a tough, like, all right, I'm going to drive to, I don't know, a certain town in North Dakota that I've never been to from Houston, Texas. Okay. And I'm only going to turn the GPS on twice. And then I have to shut it off in 30 seconds.
Good luck to me.
Yes. I'm going to end up in Mexico. Okay. I mean, I've got my wife, I'm driving, I get the GPS on, and I can still get lost, right? So it's a running joke here in our family. I am not, you know, geographically aware, spatially aware in terms of direction. I'm directionally challenged, okay?
Yeah, me too.
But the other thing you mentioned there was the personal journey piece, or, you know, when we're looking at, you know, what are those checkpoints, or what are those metrics, or what are those things that we can... the motivational pieces, like, where is our willpower lie? and why we're doing it really matters as well. But we got to start somewhere with getting some consistent habits with our fasting. And we talk all across different research articles, different conversations, you know, why has fasting worked to reverse my undiagnosed blood sugar issues and give me my life back and allow me to show up differently as a husband, as a father, to not become, you know, my family, the generational path of health and disease that I've watched all my grandparents go down in terms of dementia and diabetes and cancers and all that kind of stuff. How do we prevent that? Well, you got to start with fasting. And that's what we truly believe, is that is the easiest, most simplest way to do it. But if you come to fasting and you Google fasting, you've got time-restricted eating, time-restricted windows, intermittent fasting, eating window, nutrition window, feast, fast, famine, periodic fasting, alternate day fasting, 24-hour fast, extended fast, warrior fast. What are the definitions of all of those things? So simply fasting for us, by definition, is putting an intentional time restriction on when you have consumption of caloric intake. So you're going to have a window where you delay gratification or you delay food, and then you're going to have an intentional window to ingest good nutritionally dense food choices that are going to support your body's ability to tap into those long-term fat stores. You're going, okay, that didn't sound any more simple, right? So here it is, 16-8, your typical intermittent fasting. You fast for 16, you consume for 8, right? Periodic fasting, you've got your 5-2 diet. You've got your ADF schedules, right? And we've done episodes on all of these. So just go back, search. Fasting for Life podcast, ADF. Fasting for Life podcast, 5-2. Fasting, it's all there, right? We even did one on fast mimicking diet, right? Which is interesting to me because you consume food, but then it's fasting, but it's not.
Yeah.
Then you've got your 24-hour fast. Yeah, the fast bar, right?
Fasting with food.
Yeah, fasting with food. Interesting. Your OMAD fasts, right? Your 24-hour fast, your warrior fast, your 20-hour fast. The reality is like you have to start somewhere. And most people come to fasting, and we talked about the study with the shift workers last week, you know, about using a 14-hour open
eating window.
Time-restricted eating window. And then they made a change all the way down, just a 3-hour change, all the way down to 11 hours, right? So we're not even at the 16-8 model yet. So what we would recommend is you build on this as you go throughout the year, or if you've fallen off, then you haven't figured out a repeatable schedule that works for you long-term.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, like that's one metric point, like to hit a little bit higher of a fast than you have in the past. Like that's one thing that's not just, hey, what's the number on the scale, but have I been able to consistently, do like a 14-hour versus a 15 or a 16 or maybe an 18-hour, right? Like pushing the boundary a little bit. Go ahead.
Yeah. I totally derailed you there because I was pointing at you emphatically. So that was terrible podcasting 101 right there. We are in a audio medium and I'm doing visual things that's disrupting your thought process. So apologies. Yeah. But if you're waking up, you're fasting and you're waking up and the first thing you look at is the scale, that scale is going to punch you in the face. Even when you do things well, or if you have a good day or a bad day, or you have an expectation, a time-related or scale-related expectation. Then you're going to be frustrated at some point. And enough of those frustrations results in
chips away,
chips away at that willpower, right? So weight loss is important, right? We know metabolic dysfunction is linked to obesity, which is also associated with diabetes and metabolic syndrome and cardiovascular disease, diabetes, cancers, now type 3 diabetes, otherwise known as Alzheimer's and plaque development in the brain. And that, you know, you can look, just Google this, right? And you'll see articles everywhere. You know, in articles like JAMA and New England Journal of Medicine and Lancet and Cell Metabolism and which used to be called Cell and Advances in Nutrition and all these different places, right? But the simple reason why fasting works for weight loss is that it's immediately going to put you in a place where you can consume less. And then it gives your body less time with insulin being high, which means your body can tap into and stay in fat burning mode. But there's more at play here. Because there will be potential, you know, for caloric restriction, regardless if you're fasting or not. Daily long-term calorie restriction can and will result potentially in both fat and muscle loss if you're not careful. So We don't want to damage our metabolic flexibility is the bigger point here. And if our right. scale is our starting point and you're only looking at the scale, you're likely to fail.
Wow. Yes. Great points. And I feel like just that frustration piece and knowing where should I be targeting? Like, should it be, how often should I look at the scale, right? Like that could be one of the things, like going into 2023, if I feel like looking at the scale every single morning has been a derailing point, let's look at the average. Let's look at the weekly, the moving average, you know, that kind of thing. And like, that's a great way to zoom out just a little bit. We don't want to throw it out, right? Because like we need the input, but we also need it to not derail us on any given day when we have been doing everything right or most things right. And then we only have one metric, one opportunity for feedback. And then it says, no, you haven't been doing the right thing. And then all of a sudden my brain goes, okay, well, I guess we've been on the wrong track. Maybe this isn't working, but absolutely that may not be the case just because of the fluctuations that come along with it. So I love taking the average right there.
Yeah. And I want to talk about metabolic flexibility, or that idea, right, of the ability to fluctuate between, you know, burning glucose versus fat and turning into ketones, right, and giving your body energy and support that way. So, you know, with some of these things, we'll talk about that with the fasting, you know, the fasting for life, wheel of life. I don't know what we're going to call it, but we're going to put together some things that we want you guys to focus on starting off this year that will pull away from this just, I only have the scale as my own metric. Things to think about, things to consider, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things with fasting that's great is that it can potentially stabilize your appetite and your hunger hormones and your hunger cues and, you know, all of those things. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But this idea of metabolic flexibility, right? So your body has two primary fuel sources. And this is tapping into the conversation of the benefits of fasting. So you've got glucose, which is usually delivered through the carbohydrates you eat, right? Mm-hmm. And fat, which can also be stored and later converted into a fuel source in the form of ketones. Mm-hmm. But you also have the body fat, which can be converted to fuel, which is what we want to tap into, which is hard to do if you're constantly in a state of glucose, if you're constantly in a state of signaling your body, to having insulin in the bloodstream. Exactly. So when glucose concentrations rise, your body reduces insulin, which is the gatekeeper, which tells the cells, primarily your skeletal muscle and your liver to begin with, to either burn or store that energy.
Yeah.
Or it gets, if there's excess, it gets converted into fat. So the metabolic benefits of fasting don't start until around that 12-hour mark. In some of the research, we have also gone into some of the articles where it shows that your insulin is going to take longer to drop than you would typically expect. And the only way to really know that is by looking at your blood sugar numbers in the morning and then periodically throughout the day. So the scale isn't going to tell you, is insulin dropping enough? And that's why we're talking about some of these other signals in a minute, or some of these other things you can look at, like energy, for instance, because you may not be switching into ketosis, or you may not have depleted your glycogen enough where your body starts to, you know, turn on that fat burning ketone production.
Sure.
And it hasn't needed to yet. It's not black or white. It's a, it's a sliding scale.
It's a transition. Yeah.
Right. There's a lot of sticking points, you know, along the way. And that's what that metabolic flexibility refers to, is your body's ability to toggle between the fed, right? Glucose, insulin, high state, or the fasted state, where your body can flip the switch to metabolize those carbohydrates, stored glycogen and glucose in your skeletal muscle and liver, and then allow your body to tap into the fat stores. And, you know, you can also take into account exercise and rest periods as well, because that's another way to increase your metabolic flexibility. But we want more toggling into the ketone fat burning state rather than the carbohydrate, glucose, you know, glycogen state, which is where typically most of us live, especially if we had multiple failed attempts at trying to lose the same 20, 30, 40 plus 50 pounds that seemingly increases as we get older.
Yeah, absolutely. And like the longer or the larger the meal is before the fast started, the more opportunity I had for glycogen stores, right? The more calories I brought in. So that means the longer it's going to take to burn through those before my body actually needs to make that metabolic shift, which can also be a point of why aren't I in ketosis faster? Why aren't I getting higher numbers on my Keto Mojo? Let's say, like, we hear that a lot.
Or maybe the strips or the breath monitors, yeah. Right? Oh yeah. Man, it's showing that I'm not in ketosis. Well, you want to be doing what you just mentioned, Tommy, which is actually measuring the ketone levels. And we did a whole episode on ketone monitoring. You can go search again for that and dive into it a little bit more. But yeah, that's the point, is that's what we want.
Yeah. What if in 2023, instead of just jumping on the scale every day, what if you took your blood sugar numbers like upon waking every day and you tracked that average along with the average on the scale for something to aim towards and to measure your progress rather than just the fickle mechanical scale to potentially smack me in the face and, you know, like
right, set me derail up
for, me. Yeah. Negative. Or
right there. Yeah. Or how my New Year's resolutions go out the window by the end of January. Right. Which is what right, the statistics yeah. show. Right.
If they lasted that long.
Yeah. If you even made them. Right. Cause you know, they don't work. Like, you could do a poll, go on the street and ask people. Well, I don't make those. I know they don't work. Great. Right.
Your brain's like, what are we wasting time for?
Consistent habits is where the magic happens. So when we talk about this metabolic flexibility to land the plane here, and like really where fasting comes in, the flexibility can help you burn more fat, right? Say like you're doing more of a keto type diet. We did an entire episode just specifically around the benefit of a 90-day keto diet in terms of diabetes reversal. Huge. Incredibly powerful.
Well, because then you don't have to shift so far over as often away from the fat burning. You don't have to go as far to the sugar burning side.
When your body's not good at it, doing this 90 days consistently is such an advantageous situation to put your body in from a metabolic standpoint.
Absolutely, it is.
The reason we're talking about this is metabolic syndrome in itself, right? Which is three of the five medical conditions of abdominal obesity, high blood pressure, high blood sugar, high serum triglycerides, and low HDL, aka air quotes, the good cholesterol, right? So the metabolic syndrome, so when your body is less efficient at burning fat and gets accustomed to persistent glucose intake, which results in high insulin, then metabolic syndrome, type 2 diabetes, and chronic inflammation are associated with this exact inflexibility of your body to be able to flip that switch, which is where fasting essentially comes in and forces your body to practice this over time.
Yeah.
This process of switching between carb glucose when you eat and burning fat for energy. So I already mentioned this, just alluded to it, is exercise is another way to do this as well, right? Mm-hmm. So we're not saying don't exercise. Walking is a powerful tool. Multiple times we talk about walking post-meal, even just putting walking in a few days a week can be a huge stimulator for this metabolic flexibility, right? So fasting is going to literally force your body, and I don't mean painfully, but like it's going to stack the deck in your favor by putting yourself in this period of your body to get better at decreasing the insulin and turning on that ketone burning ability or that fat burning ability.
Yeah, what really helped me when understanding that is the idea that if I've been accumulating weight for months to years to even decades, and I really haven't consistently like been staying at a stable, healthy weight for a long period of time, like history of failed diets and things like that. It doesn't have to be like all doom and gloom in the history. But at the same time, if I've been accumulating weight, then that means on average, like I haven't had to be in a ketogenic or a ketone producing state. So that means that I haven't been transcribing the genes that lead to the enzymes that put me in a ketosis state. So that's something that has to be ramped up. It's a practice for the body that it gets more efficient. You get better at it over time. And that's why this metabolic flexibility can get better and easier and more efficient over time. But that's why that ketogenic phase, that ketogenic diet phase can be such a powerful thing, especially with a lot of insulin resistance, because you don't have to be very good at it just yet. And it allows the body a chance to actually adapt to that, get better over time, and still, you know, still see good results with fasting and with your nutrition too.
Yeah. And I was going to go right to insulin resistance, and you led me right there. So, you know, regardless of all the fasting types that I rattled off in the beginning, research shows and suggests that you can improve insulin sensitivity with any of those types of fasting quickly. Mm-hmm. This means that cells, they're smart. They can take in glucose efficiently, allowing blood sugar to return to normal after eating. The data shows, you know, even in a you know, which we don't do often, right? But a 48-hour fast, a two-day fast, yeah, your insulin sensitivity, which is the good effectiveness of insulin, remains improved through the days you eat post the two-day fast. So it's not just during your fasting windows, but it's post-fast. You're creating that body's ability, those new neural pathways that you can stimulate these things to become more routine, which is, you know, why once you get through those first few stumbling blocks with, you know, hydration and electrolytes, and sometimes you get the dizziness and the headaches when you transition, the sleep disturbances when you transition from sugar burner into fat burner, or from, you know, glucose glycogen into ketone production, you're going to see that, you know, playing around with those fasting windows can actually have a better impact on your circadian rhythms, which is the hormone driver of your body. Yeah. So not just insulin, but also the circadian impacts as well, which is really cool what we saw in that shift work study that we talked about last week. So
it's huge for long term right there.
Yeah, right. Because we want to reduce risk and not become the statistic, right? And we share the stats often, and we know sometimes it can be heavy, but the reality is that's the path I was on. That's the path that we're all on, unless we do something different, right? So when we transition here, Tommy, and we want to talk about sustainability, how we're going to set ourselves up for success in 2023, this new concept of this fasting wheel of life has come about, right? And I've had coaching throughout most of my personal and professional life. And it's always, when I'm at my best, I usually have some encouragement and accountability, right? Some target setting along the way. So we do goals training, right? Where you set SMART goals, but we actually make it smarter goals, and we apply it to the personal realm. This is a stuff that I used to do, in, you know, inside of the clinics a lot, where we get together and do a year in review. But the SMART goals is like sustainable, measurable, attainable, realistic, timely. There's other words you can swap in and out of there. Depends on whose spin you put on it. But then the E and the R is the most important part for us, which is you evaluate and you realign, or you evaluate and you review, or you you look at the experience and then you, you know, redesign those goals. Like there's a period where you're going to sit there and actually go, okay, well, is this working for me? And is this something that I can see being sustainable? So, go ahead.
Those, that ER is where you took it from a two-dimensional thing to a three-dimensional thing. That's where you took it from a screenshot to a roadmap. Like you're actually, you're taking the action on it. So if you've set SMART goals in the past, but never done the ER, that, that can be the missing link right there.
Yeah. So how do we translate that into a fasting lifestyle? And that's where this idea of the fasting wheel of life has come in. So if you're only using the scale, right, and we're going to encourage you to, maybe you don't have to start doing ketones, but knowing what your blood sugar is doing on a day-to-day basis, and this doesn't mean you have to finger prick yourself for the rest of your life or sign up for an expensive CGM for the rest of your life, but getting some feedback to know physiologically what's going on is important. Like there was an example of someone I saw on social media where they ingested a, it was one of the fast food burgers with a small fry.
Okay.
And it took almost 48 hours for those blood sugar numbers to come back down to normal.
Holy smokes.
What if you had woken up the next day, because that's the only thing you ate, and you woke up the next day and you're like, man, the scale went down. I'm doing great. And then you said, oh, well, today was supposed to be a one meal a day, but now I'm going to make it an IF window because there's an event that's come up or an opportunity to go get lunch or something.
And because the scale gave me good feedback.
And because now you're like, okay, well, your insulin levels and your blood sugar levels are still high.
Yeah.
They haven't recovered because of the lack of metabolic flexibility. So blood sugar is a peek behind the curtain into what's happening. And it's a skill set. It's not something you can just do once and be like, oh yeah, this makes sense, right? So that's where this, okay, what else can we look at? What other signs or symptoms or positive reinforcement can we get outside of the scale, which could also undermine our progress in that example that I just gave you?
Wow. Yeah. One of the first ones that, that comes to my mind is also like energy. So if I'm looking at my actual blood sugar numbers in the morning, I can also take account of what does my energy feel like in the morning too, like upon waking. And then my next favorite marker for energy is after my biggest meal of the day too, because the less metabolically flexible I am, the more it's going to smack me right in the face, like after a larger meal. I'm going to feel it. I might feel lethargic, a little more Thanksgiving-like, than I would like, you know, those kind of things. Like, oh, do I need to rest?
Apropos for the season. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But like, that's a big one. So just a little bit of like, just writing it down, maybe putting a note in my phone where I'm just going to make two quick notes each day for one of these markers that's kind of like resonating with me right now is going to be a way to like track something that really matters, that can give me really, really good feedback as I go along, whether or not the scale's kind of agreeing with me or giving me positive feedback.
Yeah, we had someone in the group say, well, the scale hasn't changed much this past year. And they've been with us for a few months.
Yep.
Fasting. I'm like, man, I feel like I wasted a whole year. And
yeah,
as we started to pry in a little bit more, some of the important things started to rise to the surface. Like, how's your energy been, right? Not just on a day-to-day basis, like you were talking about, but overall, how do you feel?
Yeah.
In the moment, she felt bad because it was like, well, the scale hasn't really changed, but okay. How's your energy on a day-to-day basis? Mm-hmm. Direct relation to that is, how's your sleep?
Yeah.
Do you feel more rested in the morning? Do you feel you have more energy? Do you still have to, air quotes, nap?
Yeah.
Right? Have you been looking at things outside of the scale? You may have seen that your body composition has changed when you take measurements in your waistline or around your arms or around your hips or around your thighs, because the height to waist ratio or that waistline indication is powerful as an indicator of metabolic dysfunction.
Huge.
So not necessarily, you can be thin everywhere else and have a big old belly full of visceral fat and you're not healthy.
Right.
Right. So we need to look elsewhere. So that waistline measurement is another powerful kind of thing that we can be looking at. What if we set this year up differently, where we start taking note of our daily energy, of our daily sleep, and taking some measurements, let's say once a month. It doesn't have to be every day. Do it every couple of weeks, do it monthly, do it quarterly if it doesn't seem to resonate with you, but it is something that we can look at.
Yeah. And that's also where it reminds me of the ER portion of the Smarter Goals, because if I'm going to do something like monthly or quarterly, like planning going into the beginning of 2023 right now, then let's take the next step to insulate ourselves from our monkey brain that likes to forget, like, all well-laid plans are all like, you know, forgotten and tossed out the window sometimes, despite our best intentions and effort. So let me put it in my calendar, just like I will to like change my air filters in my house or something. Like, I need to do that measurement on the first of the month or on the first of the quarter or whatever it may be. So I can build in that accountability when I'm thinking about this right now, because let me not expect myself 3 months from now to still be excited about the idea that I need to take my measurements again. But I know it's important, right?
Yeah, for sure. And then another one that always, about the day-to-day stuff that I always think about is the pain level, inflammation. No matter what study you look at fasting or what type of fasting you choose that we just mentioned in the beginning when I was just rattling them off and made it sound really confusing, is your daily pain level, right? Mm. And your daily inflammation level, excuse me. A lot of the studies will use CRP, which is C-reactive protein, as a marker for a secondary outcome in a lot of the fasting studies. And we're talking about like not even long-term windows. Like, we're going to do the study in a couple of weeks on the 4 and 6 hour time-restricted eating windows, right? So some of the stuff that we use to help people lose the weight and reverse the diabetes and metabolic syndrome and improve their blood work.
Yeah.
But that pain level or that inflammation is one that is commonly seen to change really quickly when you start a fasting regimen. So start taking note of, if you are using things for pain, like NSAIDs and over-the-counter stuff, what is your pain level? What is your inflammation? Do you feel puffy? Do your rings fit better, right? Do you have less water retention, et cetera, which can also be seen, and which is one of the other, categories on this wheel of life that we're developing, is what does your blood work look like? Like, maybe you should do another series of blood work at 90 days following an intentional fasting regimen, rather than waiting the next year until it's doctor recommended, right? That you go and look at your blood work. So I would recommend adding in your CRP level, taking a look at your full cholesterol panel, taking a look at what your fasting insulin level looks like, right? Because now you're talking about some of the things, just like the blood work compared to the blood sugar number compared to the scale on a day-to-day basis, right? Mm-hmm. Looking at those markers are really going to be where the secret lies to that long-term improvement or that long-term success, rather than just waiting until the next yearly physical comes up and then you're like, oh, there goes another year.
Yeah. So and that might involve like a conversation with your doc about fact that you want to do that blood work again in 90 days, right?
Right.
Or if you can't get that approved or, you know, get the stamp that you need, maybe that means getting your own blood work done in the meantime, right? Like you can always walk into a place and do that. Like, but that
don't buy the next meal plan off of Facebook. Right. Go and I've done it. 21-day boot camp, 21-day fix, right? Don't do that. Go
take those funds.
Pay for the blood work to see where you're at and see what's changed over the last night, or a DEXA or a body scan, even, right? A body composition scan. If you're farther down the advanced level, or maybe you're getting closer to maintenance and you want to see what changes have taken place.
Yeah. I love that. And, you know, like, because along with the pain level might come along with, like you were talking about, swelling. So maybe it's swelling in the ankles or swelling in your feet. Like, and even like a little bit of swelling in the feet goes a long way for lack of being able, like proprioception and like understanding where I am in space. And it makes me want to not move around as much. I don't want to be as active if I have a little bit extra swelling, like in my feet and ankles, right? It's like, it's hard to balance at that point. So you can kind of feel those things like kind of coming down potentially as a potential marker, you know, for what you're doing with your fasting. And then when you do go to actually break those fasts too, you have another opportunity for feedback there, because you have your cravings and relationship with food, which is a huge portion of that long-term sustainability portion. And that's where a big shift happens between going from diet over to lifestyle. Because when I start to look at what my cravings and my relationship with food, what those look like, that's going to determine a lot of the being able to enjoy the process, being able to stick with it, especially when it's like, it's not as exciting. Like, it's not the beginning of the year. Motivation kind of comes down a little bit, but I still have these important long-term goals, right? And so that's a big part of the equation too.
Yeah, you said something there about breaking the fast, right? So if we're thinking about blood sugar levels, right, and metabolic flexibility, breaking the fast is important. So you might be used to your body getting fed at certain times of day, triggering your hunger hormones, you know, the hunger cues that are from your five senses and not actually related to hunger, or maybe it's an electrolyte imbalance, aka people will say you're dehydrated. It's not the water, it's the trace minerals and electrolytes that you need, which is stimulating that hunger. So the hunger can tempt you to break your fast and then again send your blood sugar off in a direction you don't want to be at. So the intense swings in the blood sugar is what can also, you know, food cravings, irritability, that dependence or that relationship with food, because you're accustomed to doing it a certain way, right? So when you break your fast, you want to ease into it, eating a meal with intention that doesn't send your glucose soaring. And you may not be good at this in the beginning. You may not be great every time you break your fast, because people say, oh, I thought if you fasted, you could just eat whatever you want. In the short term, you probably can. But eventually, you're going to get to a point where you've lost some weight, and now it's time to hone in on those nutrient-dense foods that are going to satiate your body, protein and fat primarily, when you're in a weight loss phase. And then it's going to have less effect on your blood sugar, which is going to have less ramifications in terms of food choices and those blood sugar swings. So that's a big component we feel, if you're listening going, okay, I thought they said they were going to give me a wheel of life here, right? So I want to rattle these off and then wrap up today, Tommy. And then I'm really excited about the next two episodes coming up as well. But the wheel of life exercise would be draw a circle on your page, right? And draw four, like draw a pie. So like you're cutting a pie into eight pieces. So draw 1, 2, 3, 4 lines, right?
Like a homemade pizza, you know? Not like
Right? So cut it. You got a circle.
Yeah.
Vertical line, horizontal line, and then two other lines, right? So you got eight pieces now. And then you're going to put in your eight things that you're going to rate yourself on a scale of 0 to 10. 0 is in the middle, draw 9 little dashes out, and then 10 is the best out at the outside of the wheel. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you're going to do, this is what we propose, daily energy, how you feel on a day-to-day basis, sleep quality, your waistline or measurements category, your blood work, your pain levels, your inflammation levels, your swelling, your weight. Yes, put your weight as a category. Let's not pretend it doesn't exist, okay?
Sure, yeah.
And then your relationship with food on a 1 to 10. And then the last category we put here is that personal relationship category.
Yeah.
Or, you know, your social circle, your friends and family, the ones that we tell you not to talk about fasting with when you're starting out, right? And you're going to rate yourself and you're going to draw a line, put a little dot, and then you're going to draw a line and connect those dots and see what your wheel looks like.
Yeah.
if it's anything like me in the past, my wheel could not get me from here to the mailbox because my wheel was dysfunctioned. It was broken.
Yeah.
And it was
wobbly.
It was not a wheel. Okay. This is not a wheel I'd want to travel anywhere on because it would be very wobbly and uncomfortable.
It's a caveman block, you know?
Right, right. We need to shave down some things and improve some areas, but you're going to need to do this for you. So rather than setting these goals and these New Year's resolutions at the beginning of the year, let's try a different approach this year. We're going to use fasting to stack the deck in our favor, to improve our metabolic flexibility. We're going to put a little bit of intention in the beginning into what we're going to eat when we break our fast after we set our timers. And then we're going to look at other things outside of the scale to put together our fasting wheel of life, which is going to feed our sustainability and positive reinforcement as we go on throughout the year.
Yeah, I love that. And one note about the personal relationships. I know you've said it in the past, like your wife said when you started fasting, like you just seem happier.
I wasn't as angry.
Yeah, right. And I mean that emotional stability that comes off of getting away from like the hanger and the blood sugar insulin volatility that comes along with not fasting and not being right. intentional with eating times. Like that's a big component. But you add that up over time, it seeps into every one of our relationships, personal, professional, and otherwise. So it's really cool to be taking stock of like how are those relationships doing and how are they affected by my fasting? Because when I have all of these things, these like tools in my tool belt, and now it's 8 rather than just the 1 looking at the scale. I mean, right. now I have a much more comprehensive picture about how this is going. And do I feel like I'm doing what I need to do? Do I need to do more of it or less of something over here because it's not working? I'm getting a much better visual picture of that, right?
Yep. And I just love, so one of the, and we've talked as we wrap up today a lot over the weeks to months since that research came out in the middle of 2021 about looking at the sustainability of weight loss and how only 5% of people can keep off the weight. And it's not about the weight. I didn't come to fasting to lose the weight. I came to fasting because I was tired and miserable and my blood work was off. And my wife looked at me and said, hey, whatever you need to do to get healthy, we need you. Like we're a couple of years into marriage. We both have businesses. You're in clinic. I'm pregnant. Baby's coming. Like I need your help. Like, so whatever you need to do, like, let's figure this out. And luckily we had the experience, the wherewithal and the ability to digest all of the fasting information and say, okay, what's my plan? And then losing the 48 and a half pounds in 50 days, I like to say 50 and 50, wasn't that difficult. But since then, the more difficult piece has been figuring out how to keep it off and make it sustainable and turn it into a lifestyle.
Right.
And that's the intention that we want to wrap up 2022 with. Which wherever you fell on the spectrum of success, believe you can or you can't, you're right. So we want to give you some new intentions, some new tools, which is why we're framing this in a way where we need to create the fasting lifestyle sustainability. And what that's going to look like for you is going to be a little different than the person next door. You know, for anyone that's listening, it's going to be a little bit different for each one of you. And that's why we need those trials and those repetitions. Yeah. And then the next couple episodes as we start the year is going to be, all right, where are we going to go in review from the previous year to hit those highlights of the tools and the things you can do to get the most result quickly? So you can get the most momentum built up to just absolutely crush 2023. And then on January 10th, we're going to have a really cool conversation around how to start your intermittent fasting journey, build up your resistance and your metabolic flexibility and your repetitions to get you to a 6-hour window. And then a 4-hour window, and then doing some OMADs, and then doing some extended fasts. And we're going to deliver a new resource as well.
Cool.
And then we're going to wrap up on February 1st with our first challenge of the year,
nice.
The first 7-day fasting lifestyle challenge. So Merry Christmas, happy holidays to everybody. It's been an incredible year. Appreciate you guys listening and being on this journey with us, Tommy. Final thought?
Remember what Earl Nightingale said. He said, success is the progressive realization of a worthy goal. So it's not all about the number on the scale. It's about the journey and it's about the progressive realization of that ideal. So I love that going into 2023.
We are all worthy of that as well.
Absolutely.
Right? Even though how much you've struggled, doesn't matter. Fasting can be the solution. We truly believe it. It's been the solution for us and so many thousands of others that we've heard from that have listened to us over the last couple of years. So we are excited to start 2023 with an absolute bang. So thank you all for listening, Tommy. Thank you as always for the conversation. And I get to say, we'll see you next year.
All right. See you next year.
See ya.
So you've heard today's episode and you may be wondering, where do I start? Head on over to thefastingforlife.com and sign up for our newsletter, where you'll receive fasting tips and strategies to maximize results and fit fasting into your day-to-day life.
While you're there, download your free Fast Start guide to get started today. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Fasting for Life.